I am James Johnson of the Afro-American Educators.
The odd love, the honest wheat takes of Kellogg's many weeks, but across the time.
Stratford, Connecticut, on 2 September.
But there's a girl in me who loves the fact.
Mrs. Bridgeforth, I suppose that we'll start with the place that you were born and
I was born in Providence, Rhode Island. December 14th, 1897. And my parents were Reverend Joseph and Cedile Smith.
I see. Mm-hmm. And where were your parents from?
My father was from North Carolina and my mother was from Haiti.
I see. When did you come to Bridgeport?
I've been here 58 years.
I see.
1925.
And you came from?
Providence. Here.
Providence. When was that? What year was this? And
1925. I married a fellow who lived here in Bridgeport.
I see.
And I came here, and I've been here ever since.
I see. Mm-hmm. How did you happen to meet him, Mrs. Bridgeport?
Well, at that time, his mother had remarried, and she married a man from Providence, and she came here and lived a while, but she didn't like it, and they moved back here to Bridgeport.
I see. Mm-hmm. Now, in 1925, where did you live here in Bridgeport?
I lived on, let me see what it was. When I first came here, we lived at the hotel because we didn't have an apartment.
Hotel?
On Broad Street. I forgot what the name of it is. It used to be a hotel on Broad Street. And I lived there until we got an apartment. And then I moved out on Railroad Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed there a couple of years. And then I moved out to West End on Dewey Court. And then from Dewey Court, I moved back to the South End on Main Street. And then from Main Street, I moved back out in the West End again on Pine Street. And then from Pine Street, I came into the project.
I see. Did you have any children?
I got six children.
Six. Now, when were they born?
My oldest one was born in 1926. Mm-hmm. The next one was born in 1927. I had three boys and three girls. And they were all born down the South End, all the children were born down the South. All except the two oldest ones, they were born down the Dewey when I was on Dewey Court.
I see. You were in school then in Providence,
yeah.
In Rhode Island,
yeah.
Yes. You were a grown lady then when you came here,
yeah,
to Bridgeport in 1925. How was your social life during that time?
You mean when I came to Bridgeport?
When you came to Bridgeport, yes.
Well, I didn't know anybody, only my husband's people, that's all.
I see. And how about transportation or in jobs during that time?
Well, I didn't go to work until wartime. Then I went to work during wartime in Casco's. And then from Casco's, after the war, I went to work, and I worked in Holland's.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only two places I
went
to.
What kind of jobs were blacks doing the time that you were here?
Let's say, in wartime,
in 25, when you came to Bridgeport.
Well, I think in 25, most of all the blacks were doing housework, you know.
I see. And how about transportation?
With bus. Mm-hmm. Trolleys, rather. I think.
Was there anything that impressed you about Bridgeport? during that time, or?
No, I don't think so. It's so long ago, I don't forget.
I see. Mm-hmm. How about the Depression? You were here during the Depression years. What did you do during that time, you and your family?
Well, they had that WPA, and practically all the men worked on that WPA work program, you know? Mm-hmm. And they had to work so many days a week. And then they gave each family a food basket. You know, they had food stations open. And used to go every day and get milk and bread, you know.
I see.
And then on one day a week, you got your groceries.
Did you get a particular a salary during that time?
I think they paid $15 a week.
Now this is 15 plus a food basket.
Basket. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this would be given each week.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did that suffice? Were you able to do all right with that?
They gave you good food. I mean, food supply. Because every morning you had to go to the food station and get your milk and the bread, you know, for your children and stuff. And then whenever the government had surplus stuff, they'd give you a food to that.
I see. How about social life? Was there much of a social life as far as your family's concerned or as far as the community as a whole?
Well, I had social life, but I never participated in it. I never went anywhere. I just stayed home with the kids.
Where did blacks live during that time?
Well, a lot of blacks lived in the South End, and there was blacks out in the West End, and then there was blacks out in the, what's it called? Around 7th Street, Stephen Street, or whatever you call it, out in that neighborhood, there was a lot of blacks. Mm-hmm. And then there was quite a few blacks who lived in the east side.
Mm-hmm. How were your spirits doing this time, during the Depression? Did you feel optimistic, or
you just went along with the times, that's all. Mm-hmm.
How about the church during that time?
I used to go to Bethel. It was on Broad Street.
I used to go to Bethel. Did people as a whole have much of a difficulty, you know, surviving? Where you may have managed all right during the Depression, how were other people doing during that time?
Well, we just got used to it, and we made the best of everything.
I see.
Because there was no job. People didn't have no jobs, so there was no work.
I see. Do you recall when things began to get better coming out of the Depression?
Well, it really didn't start coming out of the Depression until wartime, when the war shops and stuff opened up for workers in the war plants. Because I don't think, of course in the brass shop they always did have a lot of colored, and then the foundries like that, the men worked. But my husband couldn't work in the foundry because he tried it, but he used to have nosebleeds so bad that they told him, especially for him to be out in the air.
I see.
And so that's when he went in truck, started driving truck.
How was medical care during that time?
Well, medical care was good because they had the clinics, and you didn't have to pay to go to the clinics. And I look at now, like when you go to the hospital and have a baby, it was only $25. Now look what it is, $1,000. You stay 3 weeks, then you should stay 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's the difference, you know.
I see. Mm-hmm. Were there many doctors, black doctors here at that time?
No, I think about the only colored doctor here was, what's his name? Sure, what's that doctor?
Dr. Bradley?
Yeah, Bradley. He was about the only colored doctor, I think, back then.
What did you do during World War II, Mrs. Richmond?
I worked in the Caskos. I worked in there.
What kind of work did you do?
To test the bullets. To go around, I had so many machines I had to oversee, and then to go and put them through this Rockwell tester. And that showed the weight of the bullet, if it was below or over, I had to tell the foreman, then he'd go and adjust the machines to get it back to the regular weight.
I see. Did you notice any large difference in your family life as you...
Yes, because people had more money then. See, wages were very, very low until wartime. Mm-hmm. And in wartime, then the wages started going up.
Then how did people then, they were getting more money, wages, how did they spend their money?
Well, you begin to live better. There's a lot of things you never could afford. You could just start to get them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what were some of the things that they would buy?
Well, I don't know. Both of them went for cars, but we didn't go for no cars. We went for them to bring up the kids, you know, getting better clothes for them. We got better furniture, mm-hmm. and like that.
I see. How many children did you have at that time? We're in World War during this World War Six, I see. How was schooling at that time?
The kids didn't have no trouble in school. There wasn't a lot of segregation. Like now, there's a lot of segregation in school, but at that time, there was none.
Mm-hmm. How do you account for that?
I don't know. Before. This all this segregation, everybody was just one happy family. White people go to your house, you go to their house, and like, you know, just like it was all one color.
I see.
But now everything is different. And I think a lot of the colored segregate their own selves, I think. That's my imagination. Because I've always, even when I was a kid, we always lived around white people, you know.
I see.
We lived in the country. In fact, when I was a kid, we were the first families out there. Because when my people came from Haiti and came here, my grandfather, he bought a lot of land in this country. And we were about the first settlers in that part of the city in Providence. And then there was no road, no paved streets, no, there were just dirt roads. And then gradually they started, you know, building houses and stuff.
Well, where did you live during World War II? Here in what street did you live?
I lived in Marina Village, Marina. On South Avenue. Mm-hmm.
And was there much change in the neighborhood, in the black neighborhood, or the neighborhood as a whole, and with World War, with the Depression area, and then with World War II, Mrs. Bridgeford, or was it pretty much the same?
No, it was a lot different. Well, the people were still friendly, and everybody got along good, the white and the colored. But in Marina Village, on the where I live, they had two buildings of colored. And the building I lived in we were the only colored family in that building, and there was a couple of other buildings where there was only one colored family, and more those whites, you know. And they had a playground there. The kids got along with everybody.
How about after World War II? How was the living situation then during the post-war years?
Well, I don't know. I know one thing. People were living better than they did years ago. You didn't have to struggle so hard to achieve anything. And kids went to school. They had better opportunities than what Mike. like I did, and when my kids came up, just like the children nowadays, they have better opportunities in schoolwork than what my children did when they were coming. And when we were, my kid was coming up, you couldn't afford to send them to no college because they didn't have all these grants and things, you know.
How long did you work at Casco?
Oh, let me see, from 1942 to 1945, I think.
And what did you do after that?
And then from there, I worked in the Holland department store in 57. No, 58.
And after 58?
I haven't worked.
You haven't worked? How do you reflect, or what were your thoughts during the 60s, Mrs. Bridgeforth? I have reference to the social upheaval and the demonstration. How did you react to that? How did you feel about that? During the demonstrations, Martin Luther King, Jesse Jackson.
Well, I don't know. I used to follow it up on TV and everything, but, you know, all the actions and what he went through and all that stuff. And I think it made a big change when people started to change, you know.
Did you feel the change was for the better or for the worse? Or?
Yeah, I think it was for the better because they started having the civil service test for the people. And before, our people, our kind of people, a lot of jobs they were qualified for, but they could never get them. Then it opened up after they started having this civil service test. If you passed the civil service test, whatever color you were, and if you passed it, well, you got the job.
I see. Did you find that blacks voted before your time, or how did they react to politics?
There's more blacks vote now than it did years ago, in my estimation. A lot of times you talk, oh, what I want to vote for, it don't do me no good, or something like that, they would say.
I see.
But in the late 60s and 70s, and the black people begin to take more interest because they were getting better jobs and, you know, it was uplifting themselves, trying to be better.
Did you notice any significant change in Bridgeport as a result of the 60s, the many demonstrations that took place throughout the country?
I don't know.
do you think that they participated more? Or?
Oh, yes, they did. Yeah. In my estimation, they did. They participated in more things.
Mm-hmm. I see. What do you think about the role of the church as far as blacks are concerned, Mrs. Bridgeforth?
Well, I know churches are doing better than what they did years ago.
How is that?
Well, because it seems like there's more people now take more interest in church than what they did them days. And like in Prohibition time, people didn't think about going to church. All they think about, you know, having a good time and that stuff. That has changed, in my estimation.
Do you think there's any one particular thing that happened as to why they go to church more now than they did then?
I don't know, because I always went to church, so I couldn't say.
How would you compare the youth, let's say, of today as to the youth of when your children were small?
Well, years ago, a lot of children used to go to school. They would go to church until they got a certain age, and then they would just drop out and go their way, you know? But they were raised in the church. Then when they got old enough to be on their own, they just left the church altogether. But I think now, a lot of the children, when they start, they stay in the church. But I found that out at our church. A lot of the children are still staying in the church.
How many pastors or reverends have you had at your particular church since you've been here?
I couldn't tell
you.
I couldn't tell you in some way.
I see.
I know with Reverend Campbell, he was one of the pastors. Reverend Collins was one of the pastors at our church. That was years ago. It was on Broad Street, and Reverend Drake.
And then Mayo.
No, he was on High Street, Shelley. And I just couldn't tell. I forgot. And my memory goes and comes.
How about transportation, Mrs. Bridgeford, in the early years? What kind of transportation was there here in Bridgeport?
Well, most everybody used the buses. Some people had cars, but the majority of the people didn't have cars, and they had to depend on the transportation by buses. I think buses came here in 38. I'm not mistaken. Before that, they had trolley cars. And I think it was in 1938, because she was in the hospital when they started the buses. And I still use buses.
I see.
Cars.
Have you driven, you haven't driven the license? Is there anything that you would like to say that I haven't asked Mrs. Bridgeford that you would like to comment on?
Mrs. Bridgeford, I was talking with Susan Golson the other day, and when she came out to take your pictures, and she was surprised to learn that you knew her mother. How did you know her mother?
Well, she was, we all lived down in the South End, and they lived in the project on Main Street. And one of my kids used to go down, and she went out, would go down and take care of her kids for her. You know, like babysit for her once she went shopping or something like that. And that's how I come to know her.
Did you go to school together, or?
No, I went to school. I never knew until she moved down there.
I see.
And because people came from all over Bridgeport, you know, when they put them in the projects. They didn't come from just one section. They came from all over Bridgeport. You put in, if you want, you know, go in the project, you put your name in, you want to go in the project. That was when they put, that project was nice then because they were just being built.
Which one?
Marina Village on Broad Street. That's where she lived. And I lived in Marina Village on South Avenue.
Was it difficult for blacks?
Well, in the project where I lived, they only had two buildings was colored. And I lived in a building, and then I think there was three buildings, they only had one family of color in. All the rest were white. So when I moved in there, well, I was the first one who moved in that building, And there was a woman in the back of me, a colored woman in the back of me. She was the only one in her building. And they said they all were coming down there and asked her, were they going to put colors in that building?
She was concerned.
Yeah, they were all concerned. But I was the only colored in that building. It was right on the south end, the first building from the railroad station. The railroad track.
Yes.
And I lived in there from 40, 41, 41 to 57. I lived in the village there. That's where my kids were raised.
That's it. About 16 years.
And then I said I was making too much money, I had to get out. And I've been here ever since.
What was too much money?
Well, I don't know. They had a top rating, you know. If you made over that amount of money, and they, because my kids had started to work, you know, but they weren't making that much. But they didn't go by the parents' money. They went by all the money that
total
came.
Total family.
That came in the house. And like I told them, I said, the kids don't give you all the money. They pay the room and board, and they said they have to have money for the room. So, but that didn't make no difference. They went by the total that came into the house. So we had to move because he was making too much money. And that's how I come to be out here. I've been out here 26 years now.
And when you moved here, you weren't restricted as to income?
No.
You just had to have whatever was asked of you in terms of a down. Did they have down payments?
Well, you could rent, but we didn't rent. My husband bought. I'm still paying the mortgage, but it's better than being in them projects because I hate them.
Yes.
It's supposed to have finished by the end of 1984.
I see.
Because then they went up. When we came in, it was one place. Then they went up on they had evaluation. Remember, they went around and evaluated the property and everything. And they went up on the property. And then that made it, they put another mortgage on it to counteract it.
I see.
Because the other mortgage I had, we were all paid up on that, practically all paid up. And then because that added together, that just made it more. We had to pay a few more years more. But I like it out here. But the funny part of it is when I first came out, it was so quiet I couldn't sleep.
You have been used to a lot of noise.
Yeah, because we live right near the railroad track.
Yes.
When I tell people that, they laugh at me. I said, it was too quiet, you couldn't sleep.
Yes.
You see, you got used to the railroad track, the noise didn't bother you. But here, everything was so quiet.
How long did it take you to get used to the quietness?
I don't know. It didn't take you too long after a while, maybe about 4 or 5 months. But I could not sleep. And then, wartime, because I moved in the village in 1941. And, the following year or something, the war started. As I know, I went to work in the factory here in 42, and December 42.
Which one?
Casco's. They're making bullets. And I worked on them. When I first went there, we was, I don't know what you call it, I was doing inspection work where they test the bullet. You didn't test the bullets, but you had to see if the bullets was made right, and the defective bullets you throw out, and they remelted again, and I guess made it over again. And then from there, they put me on the Rockwell machine. And then we had to test so many machines, while we go around to take so many bullets out of from the machine, and we test it, and they had this meter, like, and you had to put on the paper, keep a chart. And they had to weigh a certain amount. I kind of forgot, but I know they had to weigh. If they were over or under, we had to get the floor walker, and he'd go out and change the machines, you know, to get back to the regular weight. They used to like that. I worked on that until my war ended. up there.
Did you do any other kind of work other than
no.
weighing up the boards?
No, I just did it in the fact. That's all I can. Oh, hey, yeah, I worked in Hollins here. I worked in Hollins 15 years.
Main Street? What did you do there?
As a matron. As a matron and everything else. I had charge of the laundry. I had ordering all the laundry, you know, for the different departments, like the kitchen and all the women that did the maintenance work. I had all that. I had charge of that, taking all that in.
How was the transition from working in a factory to working in Hollins?
Well, the only thing you could get, and I didn't want no housework, because I used to go down there. Well, I got that job on my own, because after we got laid off, you know, after they laid everybody off at the war stop, and they send you different places,